John chapter 15. In the book of John, chapter 15. When you read in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, you'll find that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the only begotten Son of God, the originator, the caretaker, and the finisher, who is also the head of his kind of church that's upon this earth tonight, that he is doing the speaking. And if you read carefully, you'll find out that he's not just talking to anyone or everyone, but that Jesus Christ is speaking unto his first New Testament missionary Baptist church, if you please, that ever existed upon this earth. Now, with that in mind, in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 15, henceforth, I, speaking of Jesus, I call you, talking about his church, folks, not just some invisible universal group, not just anyone or everyone, but I call the church, my church. I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you, the church, friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. If I want to know anything about the Scriptures, if I want to know any real truth about God the Father, I want to find it out through his churches, his kind of church. Because Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, has revealed to me, I've told it to you, the church. You better watch what kind of books you read and whatever you listen to and hear from if you want teaching. Because he's going to reveal it to his church, his kind of church, not just anything or anybody. Well, now listen in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Church, those that made up that church in that day. And I have ordained you as a church that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that, or in order, that you love one another. Jesus is speaking unto his first New Testament church. There are two things that I notice that Jesus tells them in these two verses, verses 15 and 16. First of all, he tells them that he had chosen them and ordained them. They were divinely appointed, and they were ordained to do a service unto God in the name of Jesus Christ. Head of the church, what were they? He said that you should go. That means there's activity on the part of the church. They are to be busy going. That's what missionary work is all about in his churches. Then he said also that you should bring forth fruit. Now, what is the fruit of a New Testament Baptist church? What is the fruit of a New Testament missionary Baptist church tonight? You say, well, get folks saved. Well, that's one thing. But the real fruit of a New Testament missionary Baptist church is more Baptist churches just like that one. You see, the church is to produce fruit, the same kind as she is. So it is the task, it is the divine work of every New Testament Baptist church to produce other churches just like it. That's very important. for us to know. I notice that he also made a promise. He said that you should bring forth fruit or produce churches just like this one, and that your fruit should remain. You know what kind of churches are going to remain?
Yes, amen.
His kind. Amen. Isn't that what he said? That's why it doesn't bother me to do missionary Baptist mission work, folks. That's the only kind that's going to stick. That's the only kind that's going to stay. That's the only kind you're going to find when it's all over. Those kind of churches. And then he told them, secondly, that it wouldn't be easy. He said it wouldn't be easy for you to do this. In chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. They don't know the Father, nor do they know me, but they will kill you in the name of the Lord. You'll suffer. That's already happened down through the ages, where Baptists have suffered for the work that God had divinely ordained them to carry out. I like what Brother Duvall said about in those dark ages, as they call them, where there were probably many Baptist churches, but they were hidden out because of their lives being taken from them. And they weren't large congregations, but small congregations. Small enough that they could get into a boat, a small boat, and row out into the quietness of a lake or a river, and there hold their services without being detected.
Amen.
Hiding out in a cave. Not very large at all. Don't get discouraged, folks. You say, Brother Hall, how many members you have to have a Baptist church? Jesus said two or three.
Amen.
If you've got two or three, folks, and they're scripturally organized, you have a New Testament missionary Baptist church. And you have the responsibility to carry out the orders that Jesus gave the first church. You say, we can't do it. We don't have enough members. Well, certainly you do. Certainly you do. A church with a membership of two or three have the same responsibility to do the same work as one that has 200 or 300 or 2,000 or 3,000.
Amen.
Do the same kind of work. No difference.
Amen.
Do it. But there's very little preaching. There's very little preaching that you hear about mission work today, even in Bible conferences like this. But very little mission work being talked about, preached about, or encouraged today. And why is that, folks? When we used to attend mission conferences like this, there'd be a half a dozen or more who would preach on mission work.
Right.
Preaching about missions. That's the way it ought to be today. It hasn't changed a bit. But what is it that has taken up our time and our thoughts? Jesus said, here's what you're to do. You're to produce churches just like you.
Amen. Amen.
Same kind. We need to be encouraged. In these days in which we live, we need to be encouraged to continue doing that. I have three reasons, and I've simply entitled this message, Three More Reasons Why We Ought to Be Missionary Baptists. Why we ought to do mission work. It might be a little bit different what you used to, but I believe it. First of all, one reason why we ought to be more missionary than ever before, and that is because of all the unsaved pastors in Baptist pulpits today. Because of all the unsaved pastors in Baptist pulpits. You say, Brother Hall, do you believe that could be possible? Not only do I believe it to be possible, but Jesus said it would be, or the Apostle Paul said that it would be. He said it would be. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 1, read a few verses of Scripture, and then get on down. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, I want you to see that you may not agree with it, but I know what I'm talking about. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days," perilous times. What days are we living in, folks? Last days. I like to think of it as the last of the last days. But he said, "Perilous times shall come." And what will make them so perilous or so dangerous? "Because men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent." And that word incontinent means no self-control.
Right.
Sounds to me like we're in those days, doesn't it, you? But he goes on to say, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form or a program or a ritual or ceremony of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Paul says, from such, turn away. Now look at verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Talking about the last days. Talking about what it would be like right before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to catch His people away. What will it be like? Verse 13 says that there would be evil men in pulpits. There would be evil men in pulpits. You say, how do you know that, Brother Hall? Because verses 1 through 5 talk about it. How that these folks are very religious. They have a form, but they don't have the power. They go through their Sunday morning and Sunday evening and any other time they meet together, they go through their rituals. But in many of those who at one time were real, sound, scriptural, missionary Baptist churches, there are now evil men, unsaved men in the pulpits. That's how those churches get in such terrible shape. Well, the Bible calls them evil men. Not good men, not godly men, evil men. He also says they'll be called seducers. And I looked up that word seducer. And that word seducer from the Greek language means an imposter. Means an imposter. You know what an actor is? One who acts is a hypocrite. They act out the part that they really aren't. So they're imposters. The word also has a meaning of being an enchanter. Being an enchanter. Listen, folks, there are men today who call themselves Baptists and preachers that could put a spell over folks. They do it all the time. It also means jugglers. Jugglers. Yeah, a juggle. It means a sorcerer or a magician. You think about it today. What have we gotten a lot of those who call themselves Baptist churches? Think about it. Where do you think all of this this magic work comes from to entice folks, and the jugglers are those who entertain folks for Christ? Where do you think it all came from? It didn't come from the Lord. God says they're evil men, they're imposters, they're seducers, they're sorcerers, magicians, enchanters, and jugglers.
Amen.
They're good entertainers.
Amen.
The Bible says they'll wax worse. That means that they'll advance. That means that they'll just grow. That means that they'll abound. They'll just keep on moving forward more and more. And we see it today. It's worse now than it was when this church first started having these services. Unsaved men in those that were once New Testament Baptist churches. And they're coming in all the while into one church after another. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, listen again to the Apostle Paul as he speaks to those who were the leaders of the church at Ephesus. In the church at Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 27, listen to what the Apostle Paul says to these folks who are of the church at Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, told you all that I know, taught it to you. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves," talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, "take heed to yourselves. Pay attention to yourselves. Not just yourself, but to yourselves, the elders, the leaders of the church. Pay attention to what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're teaching. Of yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." Now listen to verses 29 and 30. "For I know this," said Paul, "that after my departing shall grievous wolves," not sheep,
right,
not saint preachers or saint pastors, but grievous wolves. They are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. They are imposters. They are seducers.
Amen.
He said, "They shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock." They're going to come, he said. And he said, they're going to come into the church. They're going to get into the church, he said. And then in verse 30, he says, "Also of your own selves," talking about the elders or the preachers, "among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." I can give you one example of that, folks, a classic example. Alexander Campbell. Where the Campbellite churches, the Christian churches, the disciples of Christ, all of those folks came from. It was when a man who said he was saved, called to preach, somehow got into Baptist churches and they lifted him up as their hero because he could debate the scriptures concerning water baptism. And it wasn't long until he had won many followers in many Baptist churches. And when he had a great following, all of a sudden he was exposed. And when he left the Baptist ranks, he took a lot of people with him and started his own kind of church. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said they'd do? They'd enter into the church. They'd arise among the preachers. They'd go into the churches, not sparing the flock. Brethren, they couldn't do it outside the church. They persecuted the churches from the outside. They killed their preachers. They killed their members. They threatened them. They did everything they could to destroy them. And they couldn't, they knocked one down, another one rise up somewhere else. They couldn't do it from the outside, so they began to infiltrate the churches. They began to draw away those who were in the church, started their own. These kind of men can't do scriptural mission work. These kind of churches can't do that kind of missionary work. It takes real missionary Baptist churches. Those who have saved men in the pulpits. Those who preach that which they find in the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God. And that's the kind of mission work we need today. Our churches, we need to get up. We need to rise up and take hold of the work that God has called us to do. Get a Bible in our hands and go out trusting the grace of God.
Amen.
Oh, you say, Brother Hall, you can't get many to come and listen. I didn't say you had to get many, but you go and tell as many as you can.
Amen.
If you only had two or three, you can still worship God and serve Him, folks.
Amen.
We've allowed these unsaved preachers. We've allowed these imposters, these seducers, these men who are deceived. Paul said they're deceived. They not only deceive people, but they're deceived themselves.
Amen.
And we allow them to run rampant all over the countries. While we sit back and said there's nothing we can do, there is something we can do. We still have the Word of God. We still have the Spirit of God. We still have the marching orders. Let's go! I'm not talking about big works, folks. Nothing wrong with them. I'd love to have them, wouldn't you? But it's our business to do mission work. I'm talking about being faithful in preaching the gospel, observing the ordinances, guarding them, and preaching and teaching all things whatsoever Christ has commanded to us, as many as He has given us. Preach it to them, because there are those unsaved men in Baptist pulpits today. We could say a lot about that, but what's happened, folks, is they went out from us because they weren't of us.
Amen.
They're still doing that today. Secondly, another reason why we should be more missionary than ever before today is because of all those saved pastors who are following the teachings of unsaved men.
Amen.
They're following the teachings of unsaved men. I question the salvation of many of those who call themselves Baptist professors today in a lot of these seminaries.
Amen.
But they teach hundreds, they teach thousands of young men, and maybe even a few women today, you know, because you see, unsaved men don't care.
That's right.
An unsaved man can teach a saved man, but he'll teach him wrong.
Amen.
He'll teach him wrong. And no doubt there have been many a saved man who has sat under the preaching and the teaching of some unsaved preacher or pastor and have been taught that which is not true. And they follow the teachings of that unsaved man. If you were to come to Murray, Kentucky, I could take you over to the First Baptist Church in Murray, to the building. And the only credit that the First Baptist Church gives Brother Taylor, H.B. Taylor, who was a great Baptist preacher in his day and had a great Baptist church, Missionary Baptist Church, did a lot of mission work. The only credit they give him is out there on a historical marker, where they attribute to him all the credit for introducing the cooperative program into West Kentucky. They give him credit for that. When I first went there and visiting around trying to find a building, I was talking to one fellow. We began talking and he says, "Hey, you know what?" He says, "You sort of remind me of old Brother Taylor when he was in town." Well, I counted that a compliment. He said, "That's that bob-tailed, long-skirted preacher. Preach against short hair and taught him to long wear skirts, long dresses." And I've talked to a lot of them, several of them, that remember his preaching and his teaching. And some of them used to follow him. They used to follow those men. They say, yes, Brother Hall, I remember them. We used to be members of the churches they pastored. And one fellow said, I'm a member of the First Baptist Church in Murray, but we don't do those things anymore. What happened? Down through the years, unsaved men teaching saved men. Unsaved men getting into the pulpits teaching others. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Now listen to this. I'm talking about unsaved, talking about saved men following the teachings of unsaved men. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. In 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, let me read to you 1 Timothy. We'll be back to that one in just a moment. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, listen to the Apostle Paul. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, I believe he means very plainly, that in the latter times, in those last days, now listen to this word, some, that means there were others, that means that there were several, but out of those several, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Paul said in the last days, right before the Lord Jesus Christ appears, there will be those who shall depart from the faith. They cannot depart from the faith unless they were in it at one time. They cannot turn away from the truth if they never had it. But he said, there's some that shall depart from it. Giving heed to seducing spirits. That word seducing, that's what's happened. A lot of saved Baptist preachers have followed the teachings of unsaved preachers and have been tricked, deceived. Paul said they would not only deceive, but they're deceived themselves. There are many, no doubt, preachers who have been deceived by those who are deceived themselves. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. That means, folks, that a Baptist preacher has to get in the pulpit and preach something that isn't true, even though he knows it is. He preaches it like a hypocrite. He preaches it hypocritically. He knows the truth, but he preaches a lie, pretending that it's true. He knows better, but he does it to protect his job, to keep his benefits, to keep his prestige, to be able to keep a following. In order to preach false teaching, they have to do it against their own conscience. It must be a miserable time just to make a dollar, just to be recognized. I can remember the first church I ever pastored, where several preachers came to my house and gathered around me, and I was just a young man then. And they said, Brother Hall, if you just line up, if you just fall in, you'll have more preaching and more than you'll ever be able to do. I knew what they were talking about. Man, I'll tell you what, that's the last time I ever seen those fellas. I never got to preach for any of them, and they never got me anywhere to preach. But I've always had somewhere to preach and somebody to preach to. Because I've always wanted to preach, but I've always wanted to preach God's Word, God's way, as God leads, and God has always given me all the preaching
Amen.
That I could ever handle.
Amen.
Mission work, folks, it's out there.
Yes.
There's opportunities there. But don't depend upon those who say they're Baptists and aren't.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Amen. I remember, and I'll give his name. It'll be on tape, I suppose. But I can remember listening just a few minutes to to Jerry Falwell. And he was giving his pitch about his school. And he said, "You folks send all of your boys and your girls to Liberty Mountain and let us teach them." And before it was over, you know what it was? He emphasized that they needed to be taught the most. He said, "They need to study and to learn and be taught about methodology." I didn't pick up my Bible to look for it because I knew that word wasn't there. That's something new, folks. Methodology. New methods. The methods that work today. That's what I'm talking about. You and I who know the truth. You and I who have been chosen. You and I who have been ordained. And God has kept us as straight as we are. We ought to be more missionary than ever before. It might be we shall deliver. We shall save some of these folks. And by that I mean we'll save them out of the error. May not. We may reach some before they get into it. If we take the gospel. Last of all, one last reason why we should be more missionary today is because churches, many of the Lord's churches, are following those who have departed from the faith. You see, it starts out with unsaved men in the pulpits. And then there are those who are saved who are being taught by those unsaved men. And they follow those false teachings. And then pretty soon they get into a Baptist church. And it's not too long, if they're not careful, that church will follow that man who has been following false teachings. They have departed from the faith.
Amen.
You think that's possible? Now look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Why? For or because the time will come. And I've got marked in my Bible, the time is here.
Amen.
Paul said it will come. I'm saying it's here. The time is here when they will not endure. They won't hold up. They won't put up with sound doctrine, sound teaching. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Folks, Paul's talking about those who at one time were sound New Testament churches. He said the time will come when they won't listen to that anymore. They won't want anything to do with that. Why? Because they've heard unsaved men. They've watched unsaved imposters. They've watched those who are seducers, who are deceiving and being deceived. They cannot depart or turn away from that which they never had. They don't want to hear it anymore. And so they get them a preacher. They won't preach it. They won't practice it. They won't teach it. You see, Paul doesn't tell us anywhere in the Scripture, as far as I can find, that any of these folks will ever come back to the truth. Doesn't say they'll come back. He says the time will come when this is what will happen to them. It's your responsibility tonight. and it's mine as the Lord's people in New Testament Baptist churches to be missionary. Man, find you a corner somewhere. Find you a neighborhood somewhere. Find you a family. Find a friend. Find an enemy. And teach them and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teach them the word of God as God directs. And do all you can to see that they have a New Testament missionary Baptist church. You cannot wait for these other churches and other preachers. If we're going to have real Baptist churches, folks, we're going to have to start them.
Amen.
We're going to have to start them.
Amen.
Certainly it isn't easy. Jesus said it wouldn't be. But it'll be worth it all when we see Christ.
Amen.
It'll be worth it all when we see Christ.
Amen.
Listen, that doesn't bother me too much what they say about me. One Baptist preacher told one of our members there in Murray, says, why do you even fool with that mess over there? Talking about our mission work. For a long time, we just went around calling it the Murray Baptist mess. Didn't bother me. You say, well, don't you think they ought to recognize it? They didn't even recognize Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Why should they recognize us? But there are those who come. There are those who believe. There are those who follow. There are those who are growing. They're hearing. How we may just be one little light. But one little light makes a lot of brightness in total darkness.
Amen.
May God help us. Listen, and I'm going to close, but look with me in verse 5. Here's what Paul tells Timothy to do. In spite of all of that, he said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I believe he said, Timothy, be a missionary. Be missionary, Timothy, no matter what.
Amen.
In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, these same things commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Amen.
That's mission work.
That's right.
It's when you get a folks together and you teach them. When God saves a man, calls him to preach, the church ought to teach him.
Amen.
I mean that with all my heart. The church ought to teach him. Ought to teach him. So that commit those things unto him, that he might commit them unto others.
Amen.
That's why we're here tonight. Because there have been faithful men who committed these truths to other men who were faithful and just kept handing them down. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God has His men, His churches, and His mission work still going today? Aren't you glad of that? That's what we ought to be thankful for, folks. A lot of things that we could ask for, but we ought to just give Him thanks, raise our hands. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
For being saved and a member of a New Testament Baptist church that still believes the book. Be more missionary. This is what we ought to keep on our hearts and minds throughout this conference. We're missionary Baptists. We ought to be that. We ought to manifest it.
Amen.
Loving one another, working together.
Amen.
To do the work that God calls to do.
Amen.
May God help us to do that. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Church. What a privilege.
Amen.